Yeah, James tells us that true religion is to look after the widows and the orphans. And I don't even know where to start with regards to what has happened over the last 2.5 weeks. We were singing a song earlier and it said, it's what the Lord has done in me. It's what the Lord has done in me that is most significant. And I wasn't the only one on this trip, as you know. But today's a very special day. And it's special for a couple of reasons. And the main reason is because Jesus Christ is alive. And he is here with us. And his Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. Today is the 15th of July, Sunday the 15th of July. We're never ever going to get this day again. Never. After the mission trip, I watched a movie on the plane. It's a science fiction movie called In Time. I don't know what I'm going to talk about today, by the way. This is how it happened in the Ukraine. It was like, oh, by the way, you're preaching. And I would like stand up and preach. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit has locked in your heart. If you give him the chance, he will use you powerfully. So anyway, I'm watching this movie called In Time. It's a science fiction movie with Justin Timberlake. And it's about these people who, at the age of 25 years old, they get a digital marking on their arm saying how many hours they've got, or days, or weeks, or years they've got left to live. And instead of using money to get around the world, you transfer your time. And if you live in the ghetto, you maybe live from day to day. If you live in the fancy different time zone, then you maybe have a century on your arm. And people kill for this time. And at the very end of the movie, Justin Timberlake and the heroine, whatever, they are about to run out of time and they manage to get one day. And he turns to her and she goes, we've only got a day. And he says, but you can do a lot in a day. And that really touched my heart after spending time in the Ukraine. And I want to thank, again, I want to thank the Lord first and foremost for what he did. He was so faithful. He proved himself so faithful time and time and time again. It was amazing just to be used by him. And I must thank you, because that trip would have not been the same without your prayers. We could feel your prayers tangibly at times. We were in some pretty funny situations. Many times. The enemy didn't want us there. I mean, first of all, we had passport problems, then we had major visa problems. We only got our visas 4 days before we left. We'd been trying for 2 months. And many obstacles along the way. The enemy didn't want us there. So thank you again for every single one of you that covered us in prayer and prepared the hearts and opened the doors for where we went. You actually sent us. And you share in the blessing. All the blessings, every single one of them. And you will know fully one day when you stand in heaven that this is what my prayer did. This is what my 100 rand did. Because I know some of you funded us as well, and I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for the ability to bless the ministries that we went out to see. We don't know poverty. I mean, we know poverty, okay? We do know poverty. But it's humbling. It's humbling to go to be invited into someone's home. He's got 2 baby children. He gives up, him and his wife give up their bed, so they're sleeping on the floor to give your bed to Kat and I. They don't have work. They don't have money. But they are giving you everything they have in the fridge and in the pantry, not knowing what's going to come tomorrow, but just to bless you. Humbling. The faith of these people is just incredible. Absolutely incredible. This morning I want to share a few testimonies. I'm going to ask the team. Not all of us could be here. Kat's here, obviously. Melisa's here. Vian's here. I'm here. Andre. It's the second time I've done it. I did that once in the Ukraine as well. Andre, you know I know your name. We've shared a lot. Blood, sweat, and tears. So as I said, there's Kat, there's Andre, there's Melissa, and there's myself. Vian and Lisa are missing, and another important member of our team, Roman, who is our interpreter. He definitely is not here, but he was definitely part of our team. And I only realized that after he started getting attacked. We were a solid team. We really were an incredible team. And the enemy could not come for us because of our unity, because of our unity in Christ, because we covered each other, because we were strong brothers and sisters in arms, really strong. I've never been in a team of unity like that. So I just want to thank you guys. It was a privilege to serve and lead a team like that. I mean, people would come up to us in the ministries and they'd say, Yanni, you've got to talk about leadership because I see the way you lead your team. You've got to do a seminar on leadership. And I'm like, okay. And so I'd go then, I'd say, well, the number one lesson, the number one feature in being a good leader is to be able to hear the voice of God. That's what Jesus did. He left the multitudes and he went up to the mountain to seek the voice of God. So they're like, but how do you know what to do in every situation? So I said, I don't. I'm in a strange country, strange culture, don't know the language, and I just do what God tells me. And I actually started writing down testimonies because there are lots. And I've got a small little notepad like that, and I was on each testimony was one line, just as a reminder. And I'm down to a page and a half of testimonies. So that's just what he was doing in my life. Not considering what he was doing in the other lives that went over to the Ukraine. Now, I can't sit and tell you all those testimonies today. There's just too many. So over the next few months as I preach, they'll probably start to come out. I will share a few today. And I'm actually going to ask the team to also share, as I said. But this mission trip was very different from our last overseas trip to India in 2009. Different sides of the spectrum. India was about masses of people, lots of people coming to salvation, masses of healing, just lots and lots of people. Ukraine was individuals, specific individuals that the Lord wanted to speak to or heal or save. And for me, the greatest thing about going on missions is being at the coal face of ministry. Jesus commanded us to go, okay? He said, go to the ends of the earth. And there is an incredible blessing that comes when you're obedient to the commands of the Lord. Incredible blessing. I forgot what it's like to walk hand in hand with my Savior, to hear him whisper in my ear, loud and clear, exactly what to do, what to say, what not to say. The closeness, that raw intimacy. And it wasn't just for me. It was for all of us because we were all obedient to that call. So I learned so much this trip. We learned so much. I grew so much. I watched in front of my eyes our team grow on a daily, hourly basis. You know, it's kind of, the 2.5 weeks is kind of this concentrated pressure cooker situation. What would normally take maybe a year to do spiritually in everyday life suddenly gets concentrated into 2.5 weeks. But remember, it's not just the 2.5 weeks. It's the 3 months preparation beforehand, preparing us for those 2.5 weeks. I think we collectively did more praying than the rest of the church. Maybe I'm wrong. But we did a lot of praying in the Spirit, a lot of praying for the Ukraine, and the Lord really prepared our hearts. So before I go on, I just want to commend the team again. You know, they were used powerfully. They were used incredibly. And it was beautiful to watch our sons and daughters of the house grow in front of our eyes. You know, your physical, your physical child, when that day it stands up and you applaud and you're so excited, the day it takes its first step, you applaud and you get excited. It was happening every day. There was another testimony, another miracle, another first. And to see the joy on their eyes and the laughter in their mouths of just the delight of doing God's work and the readiness. As Paul said, they stepped into those shoes of readiness. Great to see. Great to see. But I'm going to let them speak for themselves. I'm going to actually ask Ruan. Where's Ruan? Ruan back there. Ruan wasn't on the Ukraine team, but he went on a mission too. He went to Springbok at the same time while we were away. So Ruan, won't you just come and share a couple of minutes of whatever you feel led to share? You can speak in Afrikaans if you're more comfortable.
Ja, ek weet nou nie, ek is bietjie nervous om te praat. Maar ja, die Here is amazing. Okay, bietjie van myself, kom ek uit 'n gebroke huishouding en so. Nooit my pa geken nie. Ek is nou 19, ek het nog nooit my pa geken nie. Ek het misschien nog nooit met hom gepraat nie. Stiefpa gebleven, is het bijbeklee, nooit daar liefde gekregen, liefde buitenkant gaat zoeken, het gekregen, aan een plek gaat zoeken. En ik was bij je kwaad voor de Heere voor de tijd geweest, als gevolg van, ik het gewied om te respond aan de Heere nie. Want ik het die liefde van mijn pa gekregen, en alles. En die laatste tijd, zoals laatste jaar, toen de Heere redag kom groeien, en die Heere het me gezegd, is maak je zaak. Of je ma of je pa in je Azië, ik is je vader en ik heb voor hem gekeken. En het is net, het maakt niet zaak hoe oud je is of hoe jong je is, of hoeveel scripts je is, ik ken niet. Het gaat over je availability. Het gaat niet op je mission, alles gaan over. Het is niet about your ability, het is about your availability. En die Heere gebruik enige iets, die Heere even een donkie in die Bijbel gebruik. So, hoe kom kan je een oorzaak gebruiken, maak niet zaak hoe oud je is. So vir my was die hoogtepunt maar net, die Here het my regtig magtelik gebruik. Ek weet, ek kan nie verstaan nie. Net dinge het net gebeur, van mense begin te minister. Ek kan nie sê die helfte van die goed onthou wat ek vir die mens gesê het nie. Maar is net amazing hoe die Heilige Gees die Here werk, as jy vir hom opmaak. Dan begint hy sommer die Here te werk. En dis hoe sy groei, as jy uit die comfort zone uitklim en sê, oké Here, hierso. Ek weet nie wat om te doen nie, vat my net, gebruik my net, maak die saak waar nie, gebruik my net, en as gaan nie daar oor die Here self jou bless en dit, maar vir my was het nou net oor jou availability, bedoel, die Here kan enige iets gebruik wat hy wil, maar hy verkies om vir een en vir elkeen van ons te gebruik, en die Bijbel sê, hy gaan nie kom voordat allemaal die gospel gehoor het, en ons moet uitgaan, en sê in Matteus 28 vers 19 sê, ons moet uitgaan en gospel gaan versprei, want as ons nie gaan versprei nie, dan gaan die duivel hulle trek, en hulle is klaar in die donkerte. As ons nie die lig gaan neem, dan gaat hulle in die donkerte bly. So ons moet die lig wees, en ons is even niet die lig en die sout genoem van die wereld. Ons moet wees dat ons die sout en die lig van die wereld is. So ek moet maar net sê, ons gaan nie oor jou ability nie, want ons is niks in die sone die Heere nie. Ons is niks sone die Heere nie, ek het dit ervaar die hele jaar al. Ons is niks onder die Heere nie. Maak nie saak wie, hoe rijk jy is, of hoe arm jy is, of waar jy blij nie. Jy is niks onder die Heere as jy nie die Heere het nie. Dank jy.
Ruan answered the call to go to Judea in Jesus' command. Go to Samaria, well, start in Jerusalem, and then Samaria, all of Judea, and to the ends of the earth. So thank you, Ruan. Thank you for that call of obedience. It's very strange actually talking here without an interpreter. Normally you get like a few seconds delay to think about what you have to say, actually kind of download what God wants you to say. It didn't work with Kat because she needs to like talk really fast. So for her it wasn't so easy. But also what's really strange is we came back here, it was probably 30 degrees, it's middle of summer there, very hot, very humid, and we come back here and it's freezing cold. But actually, it's not. It's not freezing cold. If you're Ukrainian, this is not cold. The middle of winter is minus 40 degrees there. They stop kids going to school when it goes below minus 25. So it's snow it's winter 9 months of the year, snow a large portion of those 9 months, and we don't really have an understanding of cold. So it's not really that cold. I'm going to ask Andre to come and share something.
Oh, what can you say? Yeah, there's no words for what happened. I mean, we came there without really knowing what's going to happen. I mean, Yanni just said to the people, you know, we are here, use us. So we started by filling a swimming pool with tons of sand, going with shovels and wheelbarrows up and down. And so we prepared for the youth camp. But you know, those people, they're just such awesome people, such warm hearts. And you know, they served us through and through. I mean, when Yanni said he stayed with people and they just gave and gave and gave. That's how it was. That's their heart. That's the way they live. And you know, I think I'm going to keep that part for last that you wanted to say. But you know, Now, when we were praying for the people, and I want to just agree with Yanni, we prayed a lot. I haven't prayed that much since ever. You know, we really prayed a lot. We emptied the one room that we stayed in. Vianna and I moved to Yanni and them in their room, and it was called the prayer room. So everyone just came up there for prayer, and we had prayer and everything. So we prayed a lot, and it was very good. The Lord is faithful. And I mean, just to be in the presence of God. I mean, I've never experienced God like this, never. You know, we would do the chair prayer where you would grab a chair and then someone would sit and we would just circle around them and lay our hands on them and pray for them. You know, you start praying in the Spirit and then someone would start. So then the Lord just gave me vision after vision after vision for each different person. I mean, I think 80% of the people we prayed for, I got very clear visions, and then someone else would confirm the vision. You know, I've never experienced the Lord like that, especially at the rehab, those guys that were in the rehab, there in the forest. I mean, they would sit down, we would start praying for them. I would like, just touch the guys, start praying in the Spirit, touch the guy's leg, and then boom, there goes a vision. You know, the Lord gives me a vision. I mean, it was really awesome. And there was also a couple of old ladies that they were looking after. I think there's about eight or so of them. And the thing that just struck me was there was a big religious spirit in the Ukraine. And we talked to this one lady and I asked her, does she know Jesus? And she says, yes. She lived next to a church most of her life and she went to church a couple of times. She's got Jesus. And it just struck me between the eyes, you know, and prayed the sinner's prayer with her, and she got saved. That's my first repentance or salvation prayer for someone, by the way. So that was an awesome moment for me too. Just, and that's the biggest miracle. You can pray for someone's arm to grow back or someone's leg to grow back. But when someone gives his or her heart to the Lord, that's the biggest miracle. Yeah, and then the other thing, I don't know, that's not my guitar that I played with this morning. You know, I took my guitar with to the Ukraine just for us basically to just start worshiping on our own and maybe before intercession or whatever. And then we met this guy in at the youth camp we were, named Sasha. Loves the Lord, and we connected immediately. Well, the whole team connected with him. He's such a cool guy. And he does praise and worship. Sings very beautifully, plays guitar like a machine. And he asked me if he could use my guitar for the week they were doing the praise and worship. And I said, yes, by all means. And later on, I just asked him, Sasha, but, you know, where's your guitar? And he says, no, but he's never had a guitar in his life. that really touched me. And while we were praying, I just prayed to the Lord, Lord, please just provide this guy with a guitar. Just give him a guitar. And the rest is history. The Lord laid it on my heart. He said, yeah, you give your guitar to him. And I went to Yanni and I said, Yanni, I think the Lord wants me to give my guitar to this guy. And Yanni starts laughing. He says, yeah, I felt the same thing. I just didn't want to tell you. So my guitar is with Sasha in the Ukraine. May the Lord bless him. You know, it's much more blessed to give than to receive. And I just had so much joy after giving that guitar away. And I love my guitar, by the way. I really do. But when I gave it to him, it was such a good feeling. I couldn't describe it. I had so much joy. And if I didn't do it, I would have been convicted standing here right now. When the Lord lays something on your heart, there's just no denying it. There's no not doing it. So Sasha, we love him. And we bless him.
Yeah, as Andre said, the Lord also, while we were praying, said that Andre should give his guitar to Sasha. But obviously, I wasn't about to go to Andre and say, I think you should give your guitar away. So I just left it, and when he came to me, that's when I started laughing. But the biggest, why I was laughing the loudest, was just before going to the Ukraine, I think it was just before getting on the plane, or a couple of days before, Andre was sharing with me how his crazy brother, his mad brother, had just given his guitar away to somebody. Can you imagine that? And so that was part of my laughter, how the Lord is just so beautiful. And to be honest, I don't know whose grin was bigger and whose tears flowed more, whether it was Andre's or Sasha's. Andre was walking around on cloud nine for the next couple of days just saying, I can't believe it feels this good to give my guitar away. You know how much I love my guitar, but it feels better. So, yeah, the Lord wanted to use every one of us. And let's see what Melisa has to say.
This is for Inessa. Dobre utra. It means, and for everyone else, it means good morning. I just want, like you've heard from Andre and Yanni, and it's just been such an amazing experience, and we can understand why Johnny and Delesti went back year after year after year, because those people just have a way to creep into your heart, and sure, I want to even cry just thinking about it now. We just love them so much, and it really feels like family. It was like family that we didn't know we had. And when we got there, it was a bit, you could see they were checking us out a bit, and we were checking it out a bit. And the first night, we just worshipped together, like casually, in their living room, just started playing, almost like Andre playing on the guitar and Sasha playing on his guitar. And then we just started singing and everyone worshipping. And from there on, it didn't really stop. Every night, it was like a worship thing. And even before the camp started, that was the Thursday, was the first night we were there, and then on the Friday and the Saturday night, we just sit outside because it gets dark very late in summer there. Like 10 o'clock, it's still light. We just sit outside the lava and just worship together, and that really connected us all. So that was just amazing. And like they also said, we prayed a lot. And sometimes, like, I felt a bit, oh, Lord, I can't, I'm at my end. But then the Lord just comes through and just gives you new energy. And I want to share one testimony with you. There was this girl on the camp called Katya. There was a lot of Katyas, by the way. And Kat is also called Katya. And she's 16 years old, but she's very short. She's got growth problems. You could see she's a very smart girl, very intelligent. But she's a bit funny because of her growth, but she's very enthusiastic. And the first night, we just saw her praising the Lord, and you could see she put in everything she had. I've never seen someone praise and worshiping the Lord like that girl. And Andre felt it on his heart to pray for her, but as a guy, I didn't really want to pray with her alone, so he asked me and Lisa to come with. and to pray, just to, yeah, just to be with him when we pray for her. And I felt like, oh, it's like the end of the evening. We had praise and worship since 8:30, and it's now almost 12, you know. So you kind of want to go to bed and finish off the day. But I felt like I needed to go, and I went, and we prayed for her. And as we were praying for her, the Lord just showed me exactly how he sees her. And that just humbled me so much, like just to see that, and just how she is. And life hasn't maybe, she maybe hasn't gotten the best in life, physically and maybe even financially, I'm not sure. But, you know, and she even shared how she's not sure if people are her friends because they pity her or if, and sometimes people just will mock her. She's had quite a tough life with her being almost a little bit disabled in a way. And how she was just blessed by us just praying for her, and how she just praised the Lord and just saying that how the Lord is her everything. And sure, that just touched me, and I actually struggled to pray with her because I cried so much. But yeah, so that is just one of the things, like you go to bless and then someone else just blesses you, and the Lord teaches you something in every situation, in everything we did. And what else can I tell you? Just once again, the people, they are very giving. You can't compliment them on anything. That's what we found. If you tell a girl, oh, that's lovely earrings, she'll like start taking them off and give it to you. And so we actually had to stop complimenting people on what they wear. Or I had to, even on the last day in Kiev, Marta is the first pastor we went to, Volodya, it's his daughter. And we connected very well with her as well. And she could speak English quite well. And she had nice sandals on. And I said, oh, Marta, I love your sandals. And she's like, oh, and she was starting to take it off. And I'm like, no, please stop. Please stop. And so yeah, and their hearts are very giving. And how they blessed us with the food. And we washed dishes like crazy. But that even made the team grow as well. Yeah, and we had and even our interpreter, Roma, like, Yanni said, we just really connected with him as well. And he was so funny. He's addicted to ice cream. And he couldn't concentrate if he didn't have an ice cream for a while. So the one day we were sitting in a seminar and he was like phasing out. I think he was also just so tired. And we asked him, okay, but what are they saying? Like, Roma needs ice cream. So we actually had to stand up out of the seminar and buy him an ice cream so he could focus. And it was, yeah, it was quite hot there, but it was very, yeah, it was a different type of heat than here. It's quite humid, and you're sticky all the time, and so on. But, yeah, and we also went to pray for this one guy that's in the church. He had kidney problems and liver problems, and he's got hepatitis C, I think. Yeah, and he had quite a rough past. He shared a little bit in the house. We went to his house. He shared a bit about his background, being quite involved in drugs and alcohol before. And you know, now he's got this problem, and his blood count is very low. He was quite pale as well. But he seemed like him and his wife, they seemed like they had a very good home. It was very well decorated, so it seemed like he was quite successful. And then we prayed for him, because we went there to pray for healing. And we prayed, and then I just felt like he can't receive the healing because he feels guilty about his past, and he almost feels like he deserves it. So we could just pray for that, and the Lord could heal him of that first before he could do the physical healing. So we're waiting for an email to hear because he's going for tests. Couldn't see physically, but it seemed like his cheeks were glowing a bit more. So we're waiting for feedback from him, and just how the Lord just healed him. There was another lady. We asked Roma to teach us what beautiful is in Russian. So it's, Inessa, you must tell me if I'm wrong, it's Krasiva. So Lisa and I just thought we were just going to start calling her that because we felt like she couldn't see how beautiful the Lord has made her to be. And so we just started calling her that. Every time we see her, we will say, Krasiva, you're so beautiful. And then, so one day she just came for prayer as well, and that she, yeah, her son was there as well, her one son, and she had a little boy as well, a Lord Lamiki. They seem to have quite a lot of them. And they like the Lord Lamikis. But even Pastor Volodya, a little girl of 8. So she came up to our prayer room the one day, and she just said that she wants us to pray with her. And the emotional healing that lady received was insane. Lisa cried with snot and trane because she was so moved with compassion through this whole outreach. The Lord really worked in her in that way. And yeah, it was amazing to see how the Lord came to heal her. She has been divorced twice and how she forgave her previous husbands. And yeah, the Lord just came and you could see she was a different person. The Lord filled her up with joy. She was glowing after that. She was, and even after that in the worship, in the evenings, we had worship from about, like I said, from the Monday to the Friday, from 8:30 to about 11:30, 12 o'clock. And then the last night, it was from 10 o'clock until 2 o'clock in the morning. We had lots of worship. And in that, it's very much like our Foundation 4 in a sense. So in that place of worship, we could minister and people got delivered and saved and spirit-filled. And oh, it was amazing. And then one last testimony. Can I go on? You said 7 minutes. How am I doing? Okay. So I'm taking the opportunity. the last night, there was a guy that got saved, and he came to me and he said, "But there's this guy. Can we come and pray for him?" And all the guys were kind of busy, so Lisa and I went, and we later called Andre as well to come and help. But he was just sitting there and just crying and crying and crying like a little child. He was probably about 20 or 21, around there. And he was just crying, crying, crying. And then we went to him and we just started speaking to him. He could also speak a bit of English, but the one guy that went with us, Sasha, he could speak English. So he helped us. And then he said, and he was just crying. We said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "Like, he doesn't know. He's just crying. He's just so sad." And we just, and I just felt like there's something like a demonic thing keeping him back, because I asked him, "Are you saved? Have you given your heart to the Lord?" And he says, "No." And I said, "Do you want to?" He says, I can't. He just couldn't give his heart to the Lord. There was just something. So we prayed for him and we just asked the Lord to just, just pour out his love upon him, and so that he can just experience the Lord. And we rubbed his back and just prayed for him the whole time, just interceding for him. And after a while, he stopped crying and he said, "I'm ready." And right there and then, he just prayed a sinner's prayer. He gave his heart to the Lord, like full on. And after he did it, basically when he said amen, he started laughing, like just so much. And the joy of the Lord just came upon him. It was so just amazing to see how the Lord just did a miracle work right there and then in front of our eyes. But you could see it was true salvation. It was so raw and it was cool. And then he also got filled with the Spirit that night. And the next morning, it was the last night, the next morning before we left, he came to me and said, I spoke in tongues. And he was just so excited. So, yeah, and he also got baptized on the Friday before he got saved, actually. That's Daniel, not Sasha, but yeah. So that was really cool. So lots of testimonies, and I'm sure Yanni's got much more to say. And Katja.
Katja.
I mean, they were actually keeping us in hysterics. Before we went, Yanni had encouraged us to each seek the Lord for what our part in this mission would be and what each other's parts would be. And the Lord had shown us quite clearly, like with Lisa, that the joy of the Lord, that the Lord would use her. And they really did. I mean, they laughed and made jokes and just brought joy to every single situation. It was amazing. It really, really was amazing. We were very blessed. As everyone has said, I mean, we all grew. We all grew in leaps and bounds. And I received a word from the Lord the last couple of days. I tried to share it with everyone at the airport, but it was a bit sort of disjointed. Because I think we ask the Lord for faith, and he says, and he gave me a scripture about faith, but we often ask the Lord, "Grow me, show me, move me, use me," and then we don't go, and we don't move. And then when we do move, then we feel like superheroes. We come back and we feel like, check what I did, you know? It's a danger. It's a danger where the enemy comes and he goes against, he tries to use pride or arrogance or a need in your heart against you. You know what I mean? And the Lord showed me, gave me the scripture, and I just want to share it with you. It's from Luke 17:10, if you want to turn there. Okay, if you don't want to, I'll read it to you. Can you believe it? I'm starting to do this more and more. I'm getting a bigger Bible. Okay, hold on. Now I'm going to read. Yanni's offering to read it for me. Okay, I'm going to read from 17, verse 5. Okay, so the disciples are with Jesus. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have done only our duty. And I really believe that the Lord was speaking to my heart, and I just want to encourage the team, and I want to encourage everyone here that, you know, we all in some way serve God. We ask the Lord, increase my faith. And he says, go and do what I've told you to do. In doing, our faith is increased. And I just want to share a very short testimony. There are just too many, really. There are too many. And it's so exciting. It's so exciting to be used of God every moment of every day. And I encourage every one of us to continue to live like that. I encourage the team to not let that fade. The fire has been set. And I'm really praying that it is set right throughout this town. We can't stop living like this. Yesterday I went into Cape Town, ran away from Bastille Day. But anyway, I went into Cape Town and I said, Lord, all the way I was praying, and I was like, Lord, give me your heart. Show me your heart. And I just started to weep. I just started to see people living under bridges. And I went into the grocery store and I realized that I looked at my groceries and I was like, Lord, does this woman earn what I'm spending? You know what I'm saying? God's heart is for, if you ask him to show you his heart, if you ask him for more faith, he will give you more faith. But you're going to reach out and do something about it. So when his heart is for the person that you are, that's serving you in the grocery store, reach out, touch their hand, bless them, love them, pray for them. You know, ask God for a word for them. Live that way. It's not something we only do in the Ukraine. You know, before we left, we did a lot of SOS training, a lot of seeking God for word, you know, expecting, going with expectation. And Yanni, I think, is going to touch on that. You know, expecting for a word for someone. You know, God loves people. He wants to heal people. God wants to give a word to someone to encourage them, to tell them that he knows the pain that they experience. And that is how we to live. And that is what I believe the scripture is saying, that if you ask God for faith, do what he says, and the faith will come. The one night we were worshiping again, and it was amazing. Just as a team, we would intercede and then seek God for word and seek God, and then God as a team. And one lady had an amazing vision. She was from the first church we went to, Ethnos and Pastor Veloja's church, Veloja and Veronica, and we really felt a true connection with them. We called this mission more of a scouting mission, and that means we went to establish relationship, because you don't go to a new country and just meet some stranger and expect to go and minister in their church. I mean, it doesn't work like that. We don't have people walking in this front door and saying, hi, we're here to minister. And we don't say, yeah, sure, welcome. You know, they need to check you out. And Veloja was very much like that. He checked us out good and proper. You know, he was like he's this big burly Russian. And he was like, And we built a relationship. God did that so supernaturally. It was so supernatural. You know, we prayed for that before we left, and we had such a connection. And I think, obviously, the work that the Bells have done, I mean, they've plowed the ground, and they established that relationship for us. It was like they received us because of them, you understand? We went on their reputation. But God did something supernatural, and he allowed our hearts to be open to them and theirs to us. And so he allowed us to come and minister in his church. And this one lady saw a vision, and she said she saw there was a swing chair alongside the field where the worship was happening, And she said she saw Veronica and Villaggio sitting on the swing chair, and they were the shepherds. And she saw them as shepherds. And then she saw the congregation standing in the field, and she saw them as sheep. And then this is what we looked like, and it was amazing because it truly was that. We would go out wearing our T-shirts, and we would dot ourselves around the people, and we would just intercede and wait and wait, and it would start. It was amazing because just around us, I mean, Lisa, I don't know what you're going to share, but Lisa, the one night, okay, Yanni, I'm not allowed to share this. Yanni wants to tell the good stuff. No, but, and we would start to see the need. It would be amazing. Someone right in front of you would actually, you would have the word for the person right in front of you, or you would have a pain for the person right in front of you, and you would go to them and say, are you in pain? And they would say yes. And it was like that. And this lady said she saw us, and we were like sheepdog, like those collies, and we were positioned all around. And it was exactly like that. And it just the way a group of people from another place on the planet go and met, we just joined hands with this congregation, with this couple. And that night I was standing there and I just started to weep because I had this incredible love for these people. Like, I felt like they were my family. And they were experiencing it too. I mean, women who couldn't speak English. I met this one lady, Victoria, and she has been praying for a child for 7 years, and she didn't know my story, and I didn't know hers. She couldn't speak English. And we landed up praying for one another, and we found out later with the interpreter that we were praying for the same thing for each other. Isn't that just amazing? Isn't that just remarkable? And she's the one that actually had the vision about the sheepdogs afterwards. But that night, I just started to weep. I just had this incredible love, and I said to Yanni, I grabbed Yanni. I saw Villaggio and Veronica had sprained her ankle, so he was walking her to sit on the swing chair. And I said, Yanni, please, please, can we go and pray with Veronica and Villaggio? Can we go and be blessed by them? I feel like the Lord is saying, go and let them pray for you. You see, we had to come under their authority. For them to give us full reign there, that we had to come and submit to them. So Yanni said, yes, let's go. And he took my hand and we went, and we ran up to them. And I wanted to say this, but I felt like I wanted to turn to him and say to him, Yanni, can we kneel down before them? I know that, you know, we submit to Fred and Lucille May, but can we kneel down before this couple and say, we submit to you entirely, and we see you as our, you know, our cover here? And he turned around, before I could say the words, he turned around and he said to them, can we kneel before you, and can we be prayed? Can you pray for us? And the four of us just started to weep. It was just so beautiful. And God just showed me again and again and again, you know, my faith grew. My faith really grew. But, you know, he says to us in this word, we come back and it doesn't stop. We don't come back and we say, now, Lord, where's my prize? Where's my grand Cherokee or whatever? You know what I mean? It carries on. It carries on every day. It carries on in the supermarket. It carries on everywhere we are because we're just doing what we're told. We're just being faithful. Just do what you're told, and God will use you mightily, and he will make your faith grow. Amen. I hope we're encouraging you this morning, because that's all we're trying to do. We're just really trying to set a fire in this place, and I really hope it's working. Amen.
Thanks, guys. Kat touched on, I know it's 10:30, but you got to give me a few more minutes. Kat touched on having an expectation. And before we left for the Ukraine, we actually did a 3-day fast and we prayed together. And I asked the team to seek expectation for how God was going to use them individually in the Ukraine, how they were going to use each one of the team members, the team itself, and what we were going to impart to the ministries that we went to. So, when you fast for 3 days, the Lord also speaks to you a lot. So we encourage you to fast with us on the 5th to the 8th of August, corporate prayer. And what happened was, each one of us had an expectation. And I'm going to actually speak for Vian and Lisa, who aren't here. I'm going to share what the expectation was on their lives. Lisa, we got word and vision from Lord that she would have healing hands while she was out on the mission. Vian actually saw in a, and we've got this written down, so it's not like we made it up, saw in a nurse suit. I also saw her in a nurse's uniform. So healing hands, that was the expectation. The first night of the camp. As Kat said, and the other members team of the other members of the team said, we were there preparing the camp, and Pastor Veloja was checking us out. But after we unloaded 5 tons of sand, 2 tons of hay, cleared a forest, and did many, many things, he saw our hearts were actually in it. We weren't here to play around. We were here to serve them. And he was blown away. He says, normally people come here for a holiday, a spiritual holiday. He says, spiritual tourists. And he said, I'm blown away by your team. And that was just encouragement for us anyway. So first night of the camp, Lisa gets this intense pain in her back, like a spasm, and she can hardly move. So she goes up to Melisa, and she says to Melisa, you need to pray for me. So Melisa prays for her, and she says, Lisa, this is not your pain. This is for somebody else. So they come to me and Kat, and we huddle as a group, and I said, no, look, I don't want any attention coming to us. Let's go towards the tents where it's nice and dark and no one can see us, and we will pray. So we go up to the tents and we start to pray, and Lisa says, Lord, show me who this person is with the pain in the back. Amen. As she says amen, this guy starts hobbling up. He's got one friend under one arm, one friend under the other arm, and he's walking like this. And so Kat starts laughing. She says, that's the man. So we walk up to him and we said, by any chance, do you have pain in your back? This is Lisa talking. So he says, yes, I can barely move. My friends are taking me to the tent. So, he was actually the drummer for the worship team on the next night, so it was pretty imperative that he could move. And so Lisa came around, the whole team came around, but we really felt that Lisa should pray. So Lisa laid her hands on his back, prayed, and God healed his back immediately, instantly. He started jumping for joy, like up and down, like screaming. He couldn't believe what happened. I mean, we couldn't believe what happened either. So we were also jumping around and screaming as well. And it was quite strange how the next morning we had a devotional with all the young campers and we shared the testimony. And I called out Yvonne to share what happened. And this other girl sticks up her hand and says, I've also got a pain in my back. So I said, Yvonne, your turn to pray. So Yvonne came and he prayed. And this girl, she had periodic pain coming and going, and she didn't have it again for the rest of the camp. Amazing things. So the expectation was for God to use Lisa in healing. The expectation, and that's just one of the stories. There are so many. I mean, she came up to me afterwards and she said, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I've got these pains here, pains there. And she would pray for people and they would go. It was amazing. But moving on to Vian, we got word that Vian would be the bridge builder. And as faithful as God is, every single person in that camp knew who Vian was. He can speak more Russian than the rest of the team put together. It was incredible how quickly he picked up Russian. I was shocked. I mean, I would stand there and he would be talking to someone in Russian. And I'm like, dude, where have you been? You know? Supernaturally, he just picked up the language and he connected. There was one thing that they did at the camp, which we're probably going to do here. It's called a secret friend. So you pull a name out of a hat, and during the week you write cards or notes or give gifts or whatever. Every single day, like 5 times a day, Vian would get gifts. From the person who was a secret friend and people who weren't a secret friend, he just got gift upon gift upon gift. And he was definitely the bridge builder. Everybody knew him, and he just, I don't know, he had an ability to be that bridge between cultures. Amazing. So we were really, really excited about everything that God did. And the expectation that we had as a team, and I even shared it from this pulpit, and I remember Johnny nodding, about us going to share the Holy Spirit with the Ukraine. Now, in my picture in Yanni's head was very different. I had a picture of me standing up in front of the crowd and touching people and people falling over and people praying in tongues and my concept. But that wasn't the concept God had. God had a very different agenda and a very different plan. He used the Holy Spirit in us like a light. People would come to us and say, how do you pray like that? How do you have faith to heal like that? So we would take them one by one. Eventually, I had to do a workshop because it was just too much. I mean, you can't do the same thing to everybody. So we had a workshop on how to hear the Lord's voice. That is because they teach it to us here in Shofar. That is the other thing that I really, really, really appreciated while we were there, is our discipleship track in this church. We are not spiritually superior to any of those people in the Ukraine, but we are a lot more mature than some of those people. And it's because of our Bible school. It's because of our foundations. It's because of our school of the supernatural. Those things were so valuable. As I said, I did an impromptu workshop on how to hear the Lord's voice. And the people were blown away by it. It was like the first time they'd ever heard this kind of stuff. You know, laying your simple stuff. Lay your hands on people. Pray in tongues. Expect a word. Start speaking the vision that the Lord gives you. He's not going to give you the whole thing. And as you speak, that step of obedience. I don't need to do another seminar right now. But I was blown away and blessed by how much is in my heart simply by being part of this ministry for so long. You know, and I haven't actually been here that long. I've been here like 5 years. But it's inside us. You know, sometimes you don't realize what's happening. And sometimes you come to Bible school and you think, what's actually, am I taking anything in? Let me tell you, there's a spiritual impartation taking place. And when God needs to call it out, it'll come out. I mean, there was stuff coming out of my mouth that I did not even know was there. I mean, I knew it was there, but it was incredible how the Holy Spirit just brought it out at the exact time that we needed. So, speaking of expectation, we've got a massive expectation for this youth camp. And we're expecting the same kind of healings, the same kind of salvations, the same kind of filling with the Holy Spirit for all these kids that are coming. Most of the kids that are coming don't know the Lord at all. So pray with us. Expect with us. Come and serve with us. Come and see God work through you. Short testimony here, because this kind of like nails it. Okay? It's one of the worship evenings. We had 5 worship evenings. One of the worship evenings, I'm sitting at the back interceding in my position. We all took up our positions around the worship gathering. And there was a 5-meter gap between the stage and the people. And I just thought to myself, this is spectating, not participating. So the Holy Spirit laid something heavy on my heart. He said, I want you to go and run across that gap, like dance. And I was like, you've got to be out of your mind. That's something Kat will do or something Melissa will do, but not something I'm going to do. So I was disobedient. I didn't do it. And so then I start to pray. I said, Lord, you have to bring these kids forward. You have to bring these kids forward. Please just join them with the worship team. Amen. Not a religious prayer. I didn't even say it out loud. I didn't say in Jesus' name, but the Lord saw my heart. And as I said amen, the power cut. And then the Lord said to me, you go move them. Second time I wasn't obedient, I ran up to the front and I called the kids. I said, come, 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 come. Pulled them all forward. The power came back up. The worship changed from spectating to participating. And why? Because of my obedience. The Lord blessed my obedience and blessed the whole worship team. But he told me, and he told Andre, don't pray for a guitar. You give the guitar. Don't pray for me to move these people. You go move these people. I've given you the power. I've given you the ability. The same Holy Spirit that lived in Jesus lives in you. And my word tells you that you will do more than what Jesus did. Be bold, my brothers and sisters, and come be bold with us at this camp. Come be bold in your small groups. Expectation. What is your expectation for your life for the next 6 months of this year, for the rest of 2012? Let me tell you, if you've got no expectation, you're going to get nothing. Because the Word of God says, you do not have because you do not ask. So you better start asking God for stuff. And when it comes through, you will know it's Him. And the glory will go to Him. But if you carry on with that scripture, it says, you don't get because you ask for your pleasurable desires. So if you're going to ask for the latest Ferrari, you're not going to get it. Okay? Well, you might, but chances are you're not. Have expectation, firstly, for your own spiritual walk. Have expectation for your small groups. What are your faith goals? Do you want to multiply in the next 6 months, in the next year, or are you happy just to plain sail for the next whatever? Expectation. We've got a great expectation for this camp, so please come and support us with that. The last thing I just want to chat about is we've got a lot of praying to do. The Lord has opened some incredible doors for us in the Ukraine. I mean, both the ministries that we went to have opened up their hearts and their doors and said, please come back. Now, we also got connected with a pastor called Sergey, who has a missions ministry in Russia. Now, Shofar Church, there's been people praying for Russia for, I think, up to 7 years. They sent a scouting team there in 2009, and nothing happened. They didn't connect with anybody. And when people heard we were going to the Ukraine, I got maybe 6 or 7 calls of people saying, are you going to Russia? We've got a heart for Russia. We've been praying for Russia. A guy called Sergey, Pastor Sergey, he came to the camp. He could speak quite a lot of English. And I said to him, well, how come you're here? So he says, I don't know. He says, I don't know why I'm here. I've got no reason to be here. I've got my own youth camp happening next week, and I'm very busy back at my own church. But I just felt the Lord say that I should come. I believe the Lord sent Sergey to us to connect with, to open a door in Russia. We've been praying, and he has the same heart as we do. And he sends a lot of young mission teams through to Russia. And I believe that that's one of the doors that have opened. With the two ministries we went to visit, Volodya and Veronica, not only do they have a presence in the Ukraine, but they've got a heart for Central Asia, where the gospel is not preached. Ukraine is key. I mean, it used to be called the breadbasket of Russia, the Soviet Union, because of its quality soil, and it could grow. Everything grows. I mean, if you spit, a spit tree will grow. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. Seriously, I mean, the soil is so rich. You walk in the forest and there's berries. There's blackberries and blueberries and raspberries and strawberries. And you just walk through the forest and you're just eating. It's crazy. Okay, 9 months it is covered in snow, but when the sun shines, it grows. So where was I? Sorry? Ukraine is a very key place spiritually as well. 70 to 80% of the pastors in Russia come from the Ukraine because they have that common tongue. And the Ukraine has actually been, Johnny and Delesti know, since the 20 years they've been going there, there's a lot of ministries that have gone there, a lot of the Word of God. And there's some incredible young and old men and women of God. And with their Russian tongue, they can reach Central Asia. So that's another partnership we need to pray about. Then there's obviously Yura and Lena from Shmurenka, okay. They do wonderful work in the little villages. I mean, we went to a home where a couple had three of their own children and adopted 6 kids because that's what they do in the Ukraine. We went to Yura's church. I think there must be about 10 families that have adopted kids. Anyway, they've got a wonderful ministry as well. And Kat and I had the privilege of staying a couple of nights with another couple called Slavik and what's his wife's name again? Lena as well. Yeah, it's Lena. And he's already been to Kyrgyzstan 3 times. He's invited me on his next trip in October. I don't think I'll be going, but there's those 4 doors are the ones that we need to pray about. And there were many others, but those are the 4 I believe that God has directed us to. So I'm asking you, all of you, to start praying. And we're actually gonna put up a little section in our church to pray for these ministries. And we, as a congregation, are also going to pray about who we're going to support financially. It doesn't cost much. We can probably support 2 or 3 churches without even affecting our budget. I mean, those people don't earn much. $100, okay, that's kind of minimum. $100 a month to barely get by. That's 800, 900 rand. So I really feel that God sent us out there to support some churches, whether that be the ones in Central Asia or the Ukraine. That's for Him to decide, and that's why I'm asking you to pray, because I don't want it to come from me. I want the Lord to tell us all the same thing, and He will confirm the same thing. That's what He does. Okay, so, oh wait, here, it's a little note. I almost forgot about it. I was standing again in one of these worship evenings, and the Lord said, walk forward. I was like very happy where I was. I mean, I didn't want to step forward. I was like, no, man, I don't feel like it. So He's like, walk forward. So I walk forward, and I stumble on a little boy on his face, like kneeling, actually crouched down. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, I guess You want me to say something to this little boy. So I just laid my hand like this, and I said, Lord, what do You want me to say to him? Next thing, exactly what He wanted to say to this little boy. So I ran off and I grabbed our interpreter because I wanted it to come out right, and he didn't speak English. And I spoke as if I was God. I said, my son, and then I started to speak what the Lord was asking me to share. And this is just one note. We've got books of notes and cards and gifts of people's lives we touched. This is just one that happened to fall out of my Bible this morning. It says, this is from Meshach, the little boy on the ground. He says, and this is kind of roughly translated, so Russian-English kind of thing. It's not quite grammatically correct, but you can hear the heart. It says, sincerely happy sincerely happy that first time in my life God spoke to me so directly through you. Thanks God, we are not all accidents. Be richly blessed, brother. See you on the top of the highest tree in heaven, Misha. Now, as I say, that's just one. We've got books full of these. The Lord worked through us in the Ukraine. But we don't need to go to the Ukraine, as Kat said. We've got Jerusalem here. We're standing in this community, and we are meant to have an impact in this community. So I'm asking you to search your hearts. We've got this youth camp. That's one of the initiatives that we're doing. We've already started by investing into two creches in Kroondal. We've upgraded them, thanks to Francois and David, who have been doing a lot of that work. But our intention is to work through the Prochorus ministry and have a community center in Kroondal. So pray with us. And if the Lord sparks your heart, maybe you can partner with us. I want this to be a church thing. You know, not something that is out there at an arm's length. Somewhere where we can go and serve. Kids church. It's almost done. We're going to reach this community through that kids church. We are going to reach this community. People are going to come and drop off their kids because of our kids church and come into this church because they drop off their children. Help us. Help us. We cannot be everything. Kat and I and a handful of others in this church tend to do 80% of the work. I'm asking you today to partner with us. Otherwise, the Lord is going to send us other workers who are going to be obedient to that call, and you're going to miss that blessing. The blessing to be obedient to the call of God, what He's doing in this house and in this community. So, stand with me, our brothers and sisters.
Can I just say a perfect opportunity is tomorrow evening. Even if you don't know what you can do for the youth camp, just come. Just come. We're going to discuss what the opportunities are, and if you feel there's something for you to do, it could be just to make gift packs. It could be anything.
While we stand, I'm going to ask Melisa to come up. Many of you have been touched. Your lives have been touched by Melisa. Come stand here in front. She is leaving us at the end of the month. God has called her to full-time ministry, and she is going to be the events coordinator at our church in Stellenbosch. She'll be sorely missed, and she really has been like one of our daughters. So I'm going to ask Johnny and Delesti just to come lay hands on them. We're going to pray for her. We're going to send her, and we're going to bless her as she goes, because we bless people as they come in, and we bless them as they go out. And we know that this is of God. We know that her season here in Franschhoek has finished, but he has incredible things in store for her. And I know that this is the next step, because you are going to be a pastor one day. You must see this girl. She's amazing, amazing, amazing how God uses her. Anyway.
Father, thank you for the calling that you place upon our lives, and especially the life of Melissa. Lord, thank you that since the first time I saw her, I could see Christ in her. And Lord, thank you that the times that we've known her, we could see how the stature of Christ could be so clearly seen in this life of the sister. Thank you for the blessing that she's been to the body of Christ here in Franschhoek, especially to this church. Father, I just pray that wherever she goes, Lord, she will be that shining light, and that she would be the salt of the earth. And Lord, that she will be such a blessing and a strengthening influence where she is going to work there in Shofar, in Stellenbosch. Lord, I pray that you will supply all her needs, Father, according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And Father, thank you for the vision that you've given her, that it will grow, Lord, and that the zeal of God will just ignite more and more fire in her, Lord, that she will be consumed by the zeal of God for your kingdom and for your people. In Jesus' name, Lord, we will sincerely miss her. But Father, she goes with the blessings of this church. And may the choicest blessings of God follow her and overtake her. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen.
Yes, Lord, I just, you reminded me of the first day I went to a Franschhoek meeting, Lord, and Paul, and I met this young girl, Melissa. And do you remember that? I commented on her necklace, and she took it off and she gave it to me. And that was the first person I met from this congregation who made such an effect on me. And Father, I thank you that's who she's been, Tiani and I. Lord, she's been a hostess. She's been open arms. She's been a cheerful smile. She's been a daughter in our home. Father, thank you for her servant heart. Lord, thank you that she disciples God with her life. Lord, I pray truly for your blessing. Lord, I pray truly for your protection of our child. Lord, we send her. We will never stop loving her. Lord, she has left a space here, but Father, I thank you that where she goes, Lord, you've gone before her. Father, I thank you that you have the very best for her, Lord. Lord, I thank you that soon we will see her with a family, Lord, and of her own, Lord. And Lord, we will be partakers of that joy, Lord. Father, thank you that you know every desire of her heart. And Lord, as her family, we bless her, Father. We bless her in her coming and we bless her in her going.
Yes, Father, we just want to honor Melissa, our sister and our daughter. Our sister in Christ. And Father, as we were praying, I just saw this picture of this beautiful flowering plant in this flower pot. And it was very beautiful. And it shone and it was radiant. And then, Lord, I just saw you picking it out of this pot, which I believe is Franschhoek, and placing it in this bed. And Lord, as as it's placed in this bed, Lord, more blossoms and flowers come out than ever before, Lord. It's kind of almost like Franchuk was constraining who she is, Lord. And I look back at the other flower pot and where the hole was, where the plant had been pulled, many little small shoots started growing strong, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that she has been discipling and she has been walking a road with so many people, Lord. And Father, I say this, Lord, but maybe some people have been more reliant on Melisa than on you, Lord. So I thank you, Father, that even though things will never be the same without Melisa, they'll be different. But, Lord, we know that people are going to always recognize your light in her life, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that she is truly, truly a disciple maker. And Lord, I thank you for all the disciples that she will make. I thank you for her gift of hospitality. I thank you for her warm heart. I thank you for her love, Lord. A kind of love that you talk about in Corinthians, Lord. A love that is kind and patient and long-suffering and holds no record of wrong, Lord. A kind of love that perseveres and always hopes and never fails, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that that unfailing love, Lord, will always connect us with Melisa, Lord. There will always be a connection between us because of the God that we serve and the stories that we have shared, the battles that we have fought together, Father. So we thank you, Father, that we can send her into her destiny, Lord, knowing that you have the very best in store for her, Lord, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has conceived what you have in store for Melisa. So we send her, Father, with all your abundant blessing and protection in Jesus' name. And Lord, may she always know she has a home back here in Franschhoek. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord Jesus, thank you for the family of God. And Lord, thank you that we have taken her into our hearts. And Lord, that she will always know that there's a place for her in this body of Christ. That if the storms come and the testing times come, Lord, that you will be at a safe place in Franschhoek with her friends and in the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Now, this is Melisa Olifant, and I don't think many churches have the privilege of sending out an elephant into the mission field. Eh? But what a beautiful little elephant. Eh?